from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is The Letter by The Box Tops, a number one hit in the country in the summer of 67 out of Memphis, Tennessee. In my never-ending quest to be topical, I guess I'm going to send that out to the University of Memphis men's basketball program.
Highly topical. So it was out of Memphis. Was it recorded here? Or were they from here?
Yeah. What's Box Tops, Memphis band. Yeah, it's Alex Shelton's first band before Big Star.
Oh, that was Alex Shelton's first band.
At one point, I don't know if he was the drummer at the time. I think he may have come on the band later. But Thomas Boggs, at one point, was a member of the Box Tops, the Huey's founder, Thomas Boggs.
So,
Memphis song.
What happened to the Box Tops? Did they have any other notable hits?
Yeah, they had some other hits. Cry Like a Baby, Soul Deep. They were a successful sort of garage rock, post-Beatles kind of era. They were a successful band for a couple of years there, had a nice run, and then, you know, that petered out and they went their separate ways, but definitely among the more successful bands to come out of Memphis.
It's interesting that even letters are so old school. This was like literally, if you look at it, it seems to be a typed letter. When do you ever mail anything physically anymore?
Me personally, I can't remember the last time I mailed something. I mean, my wife and daughter are sometimes mailing back stuff they have purchased,
right,
you know, online or whatever. But in terms of, like, you know, I guess my wife sent some postcards when we were in Scotland, but that was, like, work-related. But I can't remember the last time I, like, wrote some kind of correspondence physically and put it in the mailbox.
But you grew up at a time when you did, like, when you were in college, did you write letters home?
When I was in high school in particular, but high school and into college, I wrote not so much letters home, but letters to friends. Yeah.
You would write letters, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom used to send me a letter every week. Yeah, I got a letter a week, basically. Go ahead. What?
Yeah, pre-email. Email sort of killed the letter writing.
Email killed letters, yeah. And that's somewhat lamentable. Anyway, there you go. We don't have a lot of basketball stuff to talk about. Although, apropos of this letter...
I didn't know the NCAA still had rules. This is news to me.
That's one of the issues here, is that it's all, of course, preposterous, because
right.
Jackson Dart, the quarterback for Ole Miss, he makes, Jeffrey said millions. I'd heard $3.5 million, but he makes millions of dollars playing for Ole Miss, right? And it's in the guise of name and like, because we still... Even as the world has ostensibly changed, we still need to prop up the fiction that you can't get paid for playing. And so, go ahead.
It seems to me, and I listened to the show yesterday in its entirety. I haven't heard the first hour today, so maybe treading ground you've already covered. But it seems to me the interesting thing here, or the potentially more relevant thing, is not the money stuff. It's the academic fraud allegations. But to me, that stuff even more so like begs the question of, like, what is this thing about anymore, you know?
Right.
Like, if you're paying players millions of dollars to play on the teams, like, are you really pretending they're still students? You're pretending that they are necessarily still students? I think a lot of them probably aren't real students. But the idea that this is a necessity that they are real students, is that still a thing we're doing? I don't know.
Yeah.
But if they're not, what's the point of the whole thing? Like, why does it have to exist at all, you know?
I think there are two fictions embedded in this letter, that they are desperate to cling to. One is that they're still students for whatever reason, like otherwise they're pro sports. And so that's one.
Right.
And so there's the, you're right, there's the academic stuff here. I don't get the sense that in the letter there's some specific academic allegations. I think those are things that were already, that are part of the ongoing Malcolm Dandridge investigation that they already,
I haven't seen the letter. Yeah. I've seen a synopsis of the letter on people's Twitter feeds, right?
I think so
that's what I'm going off of.
I think it's why it was kind of a postscript. That was the last three sentences at the end. The other thing, though, is about the money. You are allowed to take money now as an athlete from CSpire,
right,
or from FedEx or from whatever else. You are not allowed to take money from the basketball coach. It's the fiction is, oh, these guys aren't getting paid to play for Memphis or Ole Miss or whatever else. They're getting paid to represent FedEx. And so FedEx has them filling up, you know, turkey boxes or something, or, you know, whatever. It's ridiculous. It's a complete fiction. The whole thing is a fiction, but they're desperate to maintain it. And so I do think the rules here, if they violated these rules, which are, coaches can't pay players out of their pocket or can't arrange for pay, they would get, this would be the end.
Right.
So
it's never boring out there. I got to say,
it is never boring out there. World. So our friend Anthony Sain, he thinks there's a double standard and that there's a joy in taking down. I'm not quoting him exactly. The energy around criticizing Penny for the upheaval in his staff is unseemly and is wildly contrary. It is 180 from the way that people are protective of Taylor Jenkins and the tumult in his staff. And
I don't agree with that assessment, and I would raise a couple of counterpoints.
What would
that.
They be?
The big one is timing. Like if you want to say the shakeup in Taylor Jenkins' staff suggests, you know, some uncertainty about the coaching going forward, I think that's 100% fair. But if you're shakeup in your staff is purely a strategic basketball kind of thing, you do it at the end of a season, which is what the Grizzlies did coming out of a season. It doesn't happen like on the eve of a season. Like that's a radically different timing situation that I think one of those things raises more questions than the other. I would also say that the Grizzlies have had like a rough year and a half, that's for sure, in all kinds of ways, but it's a rough year and a half. If we're being real about it, the Tiger basketball has had a rough, like however long since John Calipari left. It's been a mess since John Calipari left.
Well, and that actually could be some defense because they've been rough under Josh, they've been rough under Tubby, and now they're rich
on. No, this is what I'm saying. Yeah. It's not like it was a drama-free zone under Tubby Smith or Josh Pastner.
No. So okay, but on those two things, I agree 100%. It if at the end of the last basketball season in Memphis, Tiger basketball season, which was a disaster, Penny had come out and a month later or 2 weeks later or a day later and said, I'm making wholesale changes in my staff, including the departure of Rick Stansberry. People would have said, well, I get it. Like, that was a disaster of a season. I understand why you're making changes. You know, and what's weird is when you're doing it on September, you know, early September, and your season is bearing down upon you. So the timing is.
And that would still, by the way, reflect on Penny Hardaway's performance, just as Taylor Jenkins overhauling most of his coaching staff reflects on him.
100%. And it suggests that you didn't have the right staff before, which you picked, right? Or whatever.
Right.
Yes, 100%. Like, it still reflects on you, but it doesn't look like chaos. It looks like what you do when a team is unsuccessful, they fire the offensive coordinator, they change their assistants, they do whatever they do. And then the second one is, I did, because we don't, let's be honest, assistants don't get quite the, I guess some do in the NBA, they don't get quite the attention. Like assistants in Memphis they're recruiters too. They're the guys who are out and getting you players.
Right.
That's what Rick Stansberry is doing. So that's partly why he's important. And so why we pay more attention to him. So I haven't really paid my, plus we're not allowed to talk to the assistants now. We used to talk to whatever. So
assistant coaches in the NBA are something of a black box, really, right, if you're not on the inside.
Has there been, until this year, until the recent turnover in the Grizzlies, has there been pretty good continuity there under Taylor? Because Penny's changes year in, year out.
Oh, there's always some little changes year to year. I mean, pretty much every year there's some level of change. Like the year before, they brought in, you know, Anthony Carter and Patrick St. Andrews. Yeah. David McClure had gone out. I think maybe someone else had gone out. you know, Darko Rajakovic was not part of the original Taylor Jenkins staff, but that was like, you know, you brought in this really good coach and he's there for a year and he gets a head coaching job. Like, that reflects well, not poorly. But I don't think there's been a lot of chaos around Taylor Jenkins staff until this summer. And the last time I remember chaos beyond the head coach changes stuff was like, at one point, like Lionel, like, got rid of like a Barry Hacker and like Mike Bibby, and that was sort of some messy stuff, but it's pretty rare.
Yeah, and then I guess fundamentally, the other big difference is, I think Taylor Jenkins has, it's not a perfect record, but he has fundamentally been successful.
If he finished second in the Coach of the Year race 3 years ago.
Yeah, and I mean, in the end, he gets to the, except for last year, I think getting to the playoffs with the Grizzlies is sort of like getting to the NCAA tournament for the Tigers. It's basic, you know, well, okay, you did the basic good thing.
It's sort of your pass-fail line.
Yeah, it's your pass-fail line. And obviously, if you have a crappy team, you have a different pass-fail line or whatever, you're rebuilding or something. But yeah, for an established team, right, you should get to
the... If you have expectations, and the Tigers always have expectations.
Right.
NBA is a little bit different in terms of the up and down, in terms of expectations. But if you have a team with reasonable expectations, getting to the postseason is sort of a pass-fail line.
And so you should get to the postseason if you're to the Tigers. You should get... And the Grizzlies fundamentally have, right? I mean, there was last year was a disaster, and... And there was first year he didn't, like first year or two didn't, but like other than that, he was...
Well, they got to the play-in. I remember that was the first year or the second year, but it was the first year. I think Taylor and Ja came in the same year. And so they got to the play-in, and they lost to, you know, Portland in the play-in game. But that was, I think, they exceeded expectations for that year.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Pretty much they hit the over every year. You know, except for last year, they hit the over every year.
Right.
So if that's expectations, they hit the over every year. And then the other thing I just don't buy is that there would be a double standard in favor of Taylor Jenkins as opposed to Penny. Penny, beloved, Taylor, just Taylor. You know, I mean, whatever. He'll come and go.
Yeah,
and
I think you can debate that stuff, but I'm more interested in the reality of the situations than in the perceptions as a starting point.
Yes, I agree. That's why we started there. We did get the actual timetable from the Grizzlies on Gigi, reevaluated in 3 months. What did you make of that?
Yeah, such as it is. So Drew and I, I don't think the pod is published, but Drew and I did a pod or posted. Drew and I did a pod yesterday before that came out, and we talked about this, and I think, you know, what we said basically is what happened. And a point I made on that was that when they put out a statement, which was going to happen yesterday because he had surgery yesterday, it was not going to give a timetable in terms of an expected return date. That is because, as a sort of a matter of policy, as I understand it, maybe league-wide, they're sort of pulling back on those kind of announcements, that you're expected to return at a certain point. And so it was always going to be a reevaluation point. But I think my expectation would be that reevaluation point is the, okay, now you're good to start ramping up. And so the return should be, you know, within a couple of weeks, maybe after that point, if things go well. And so the three-month thing is sort of what I think was a baseline expectation for the injury. And the good news is, like, we're not playing basketball yet. And so that three-month thing is really like 6 weeks into the season.
So 6 weeks into the season gets us before, where does it land us? Where does it?
You get sometime in December.
Sometime in December, before Christmas.
Early December.
Yeah. All right. A couple other things. You have written, as you do now, you've written another movie, what's coming up in the theaters and around Memphis this weekend. Beetlejuice, that's the big one this week?
Yeah, everyone's clearing out for that, pretty much, yes.
And what do you think of Beetlejuice? Obviously, you haven't seen it, I don't believe, but what do you think of the idea? What do you think of the idea?
I would like to have access early, but they don't really do that anymore. I rewatched the original Beetlejuice, which is from the late 80s. I've seen it maybe once since when my kids were young. I rewatched it over the weekend. It's really good. It's better than I remembered, and in a really sort of weird, interesting way for something that was so popular and such a hit. I feel I have pretty high expectations for this. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's got the director back. It's got the main cast people back. It wasn't something that it felt like, you know, the suits counting the beans said this has to happen. You know, it's not like, you know, Game of Thrones was a hit, so we have to keep on making Game of Thrones stuff. Like, it's been a generation since this first movie was made, and it feels like the people who are back for the right reasons. And I think, you know, the trailer looks good. I think it's going to be fun.
And then, is this your wife's favorite movie, The Red Shoes?
Oh, if I forced her to make a list, it'd be in the top 10. She frequently cites it as among her favorite movies.
Tonight at Crosstown, is that right? What is The Red Shoes?
Yep. It is a British movie from the late 40s, directed by the theme of Palin Pressburger. It's based on a Hans Christian Andersen story, so it's sort of a fairy tale quality thing. It's a ballet movie, and it's sort of about the drive of the artist, and it's this ballerina who has to choose between her art and her personal life, and there's these magical red shoes that once you put them on, you just can't stop dancing, and that could be a good or a bad thing, depending on how things go.
Tonight at Crosstown. And then finally, the Craig Brewer, the new series, The Million Dollar Heist, is now available? Is shortly available? And do you have
I think today or tonight. I don't think I have the Peacock streaming channel. So I don't know when I'm going to be able to watch that. We'll see.
Are you optimistic about it?
I can't remember there being a series, like when you think of all the streaming services out there, or like the series that people care about, they tend to be like HBO and Hulu and you know, Netflix and Apple. I can't remember there being like a new series on like Peacock that people cared a lot about. Maybe I'm forgetting something. So it's sort of pushing against the wind a little bit in that regard. I'm a fan of Craig. And I'm interested in the story. It's a heist movie, a heist series set amid a Muhammad Ali fight in Atlanta.
Right.
So I'm interested in Craig. I'm interested in the material. I would certainly like to see it. I'm not sure when I'll be able to see it. I got to investigate access to that service.
Right.
But you know, I don't. If I'm being honest about it, I haven't detected a lot of. You know, if you're a non-biased observer, just like. Reading entertainment media or just sort of seeing what people are talking about. None of the podcasts that I listen to are talking about it. So I don't know how big of a deal it's going to be.
All right, Chris, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.